All right, it's April 23, 2008, 5:30 in the evening, and we have just completed a conference in Detroit, Michigan, to be specific, Livonia, Michigan, 500 people, and I think all three of us are whipped. So first, I'm Pete Wright, and why don't you tell us who you are?
I'm Stacy Bachman.
And I'm Steve Bachman.
And Stacy and Steve, the two of you have a company. Give me the name of the company and the website.
Great Expectations Children's Therapy and Learning Center, www.mygreatkid.com.
And what is Great Expectations? What does it do?
Great Expectations is a children's therapy and learning center developed and based on the experiences of our son that we've had over the years, and the frustrations and the things that we knew that the school system wouldn't necessarily provide. There's sensory integration therapy, there's speech therapy, cognitive short-term, long-term memory programs that we have available, reading programs specifically designed to get into how your child reads and the specifics of what they're doing when they're reading, and also focus and attention program, and our sensory integration auditory program that we have.
Now, as someone is listening to this, they might be curious and will want to go to the website. So give me the website again.
www.mygreatkid.com.
All righty. Steve, what do you want to add to what Stacy has said about what you all do there?
We do the therapy, but like she said, I mean, it was started because of the experiences we had with our own son and spending a lot of time sitting in therapy center waiting rooms and, you know, talking to other parents, and the motivation behind it was essentially we kind of kept on running into the same frustrations and the ones we had. Obviously, first and foremost, one's always cost. But the second one, there wasn't a place as a parent where you could go and get real insight from another parent. You know, doctors and those kind of people, they have a lot of experience, but they don't know what it's actually like to go home at the end of the day with the child, to have the child that sleeps 2 to 3 hours and is always awake. You know, they can tell you all the social stuff to do. They can tell you this is how you should act when you go out in public, but they don't know what it's like to be there when your kid's jumping up and down and flapping in a restaurant. And then the other frustration we had is it seemed like every therapist we went to always had the magic bullet cure. And I was in a therapy center waiting room one time and joked with another parent, I'd like to just go in one time and have a doctor say, I don't have a program here that'll work, but here's some place that does. And so we said, you know, it's too bad there's not someplace out there where you can talk and get real answers where they can say, look, these are the programs we have that'll work, but here's another program that'll work even better that's somewhere else, where, you know, you can make it a little more cost effective. And I remember very, very clearly, we were driving around, it was right around Christmas time, and we were talking, we were trying to figure out how we were going to pay for the next 3-4 months of therapy for my son. And I said, you know, we've been talking about it, it's too bad there's not a therapy center out there like this, why don't we start it? Looking back, maybe a little bit naive when we said that, thinking it would be a little bit easier. It actually took 3 years to actually put everything in place and get the full funding to open it up. But that's how we started, and it's worked very, very well.
What's the significance of the name? It's an unusual name. Tell me about that.
Yeah. The name is Great Expectations. The website is My Great Kid. They were picked on purpose. Because it seems like, at least for us, but I think it's something shared by a lot of parents, the first thing that happens is when your child gets that diagnosis, you know, you're told you need to lower your expectations, you need to change what you expect, you need to change your long-term goals for your child. I remember, and it was something we almost put in the program guide, and I had to cut it down at the last minute. And Stacy doesn't like it because I go out on a rant about this all the time, but one of the first things, that it seems a lot of places, but certainly where my son was, is... they gave out a poem called Welcome to Holland. I'm sure, you've seen that, or have you heard of it, or no?
It's familiar, but okay. I don't remember.
Essentially, the gist of it is, it's comparing, it was written by a mother, I believe, that had a child with Down syndrome quite a few years ago. And it's saying, you know, having a child with special needs is kind of like you're preparing to go on a trip to Italy. And you get all the guidebooks, and you take all the lessons, and you get all your maps and all your sightseeing stuff. And then the day of the big trip comes, and you get on the plane, and you go. And then, you go to get off the plane, and it turns out that you didn't go to Italy, you ended up in Holland. And being in Holland, and you can't get back on the plane and go to Italy, you know, and you're very frustrated because all your friends are going to Italy, and Italy is a cool place, and you did all this preparing. But then it talks about how slowly over time you accept all the nice things about Holland. And I remember we were sitting in a parent support group. That was very shortly after my son was diagnosed. And the social worker handed it out and went around the room and said, you know, how does this, you know, what do you think about this poem? And the large number of the mothers, because it was mostly mothers in the group, and were talking about how it was so great and it really touched, on exactly how it felt. And I remember looking at it at the time and saying that I thought it was absolutely absurd and silly, and I thought it was insulting. Because I said, you know, it takes the attitude that once your child's diagnosed as having some kind of special need, the first thing you have to do is lower all your expectations. And I said, you know, if we're going to stay with the metaphor of the story, if I was going to Italy and that's where the trip was and that's what was planned, and I get on the plane and I get off the plane and I find out they took me to Holland instead, the first thing I do is I turn around and get back on the plane and tell them to fly me to Italy. And the social worker said, okay. And I said, you know, now I realize that was the metaphor here. So in real life, this is how I really look at it. If my son is going to have some special needs and some special challenges, I completely accept that. If you're going to tell me my child is not, is not normal, doesn't have some of the normal needs. And I remember clearly looking at the social worker and saying, you know, frankly, I think normal is overrated to begin with. Most of the people that do really great things are not normal. So if you're telling me my son's not normal, I don't have an issue with that. I said, but you know, if you're going to tell me that at 2.5, because that's how old he was, at 2.5, that now essentially I have to sell him out and sell him short, it's just not going to happen. And I said, I think it's insulting. And I think to give it to parents shortly after their child is diagnosed and say, look, the very first thing you have to do is accept Holland. No, you don't. And I don't care if your child has special needs or not. You come up and you should be teaching your child that, look, you set your goals, you work for them. Stuff's going to happen, challenges are going to come up, but you don't teach your child, you know what, once a challenge comes up, then you sell out. Then you settle for where you're at. And you know what, if I'm setting these goals for my son, they prove not to be realistic or they prove not to be things that he can accomplish, then you know what, I'm going to let that be determined by him. I'm not going to do it, and I'm sure as heck not going to do it at 2.5. And if you have any experience working with social workers, you can pretty much guess the reaction he had. He gave me a very sympathetic look and said, well, you know, I understand that. He said, you know, you have to understand, you know, you're in the early part of the mourning process, which, guess how that went over with me. And he said, you know, what's going to end up happening is as you come, you know, come around, you're going to begin to accept these things. And that, you know, in the best interest of your child, you really need to accept that this is the reality. And that was pretty much, I think maybe I might have gone to one more of the support sessions. But not only did that keep me from ever going to another support meeting, but that has pretty much sealed the relationship I've had with social workers consistently over the years. You know, they're always trying to get us to accept things. And that was the thing we said from the very beginning with my son, you know what, we're going to set the bar high. I'm going to set it at the exact same levels as I did before, and my expectation is going to be we're going to do what we can to get him to meet those. And as we go down the road and we say, you know, I would have loved when he was born to have him be, you know, Super Bowl MVP. Not quarterback, but linebacker, but Super Bowl MVP. Now, you know what? He might not have been able to accomplish that, but that would have been the goal. My goal for my son is now is that he is going to be mainstream. He is someday going to go to college or have the opportunity to do that. He is going to have the opportunity. He is going to be able to live independently on his own. If that proves not to happen, if that proves not to be the case, then it's going to be because of the fact that he maxed out his potential and we didn't get there. But it's not going to be because I made the decision at 2.5 that, hey, he's got special needs, now we're going to lessen everything. So when we came around and we said we're gonna create this center, I said, you know, we're going to keep the focus really clear from the very beginning. We're going to set high expectations, and high expectations didn't sound like a very good name. So we said, you know, we're going to go. I was looking, trying to come up with a name, and I went, you know, My Great Kid. I really like that. That signifies exactly what we're looking for. And we said, you know, we'll pull the great and put in the name of Great Expectations. And we tell parents that when they come in, look, our expectation, and if you're going to come in and work with us, is that we're going to set the bar high. You know, we don't know where these kids are going to go. They can't even figure out what's causing autism, which is obviously one of the challenges my son has. They can't figure out what's causing it, so they sure as heck can't look 10, 12, 20 years down the road and tell me what he's going to be doing. And there's so much new stuff coming out, and there's so many new therapies and discoveries that, you know what they're saying his possibilities are, you know, 10 years ago is not going to be 10 years from now. So that's how it came about.
Well, now, back in January, mm-hmm. I think it was around the last week of January, you contacted us about doing a rights law conference, and I think you were thinking about doing one in less than 3 months. Mm-hmm. Let's see, January, February, March, April, it was in, yeah, it was a little bit less, a period of less than 3 months, and I'm sure that I don't recall whether we talked or not over the phone. Did I talk? I think I did, didn't
I? It was an email originally.
An email and then a discussion. Then I probably said to you, that's just too short a time.
You did.
And putting something together and probably tried to talk you out of it. Mm-hmm. And I had never worked with you all before. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you from anybody else. And, mm-hmm. And I'm sure I tried hard to suggest to you look at another date, but mm-hmm. I was not successful with that. Mm-hmm. And you insisted. And so I sent you a contract. And you all had the contract signed and back in our hands on February 4, I think was the date. Mm-hmm. And then you and now here we are just, what did you figure out, 10 weeks later?
10 weeks
later, and you had a conference that sold out with 500 people. Mm-hmm. And I saw you had a check from an automobile dealership for almost $8,000. And tell me now, what is your background, Steve? Do you have a background in sales or marketing or something?
Yes, I do. But you saw a check for $7,800. It wasn't quite $8,000. But after that check, we actually sold. The dealership actually bought another 60 tickets. So the check in the end, because they gave it to us today, actually ended up much, much more than $8,000. And yes.
I haven't heard that portion of it yet.
No, I haven't heard that.
From a sales standpoint, I have to set the record straight, Pete. It was more than what you were getting.
It was a lot more than what you were getting. Yeah. Well, let's back up and put this in better perspective for listeners who don't know what we're talking about. So you signed the contract, and what did you – so you knew you had a date.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a location at that point? Did you know it was going to be held at this facility where we're sitting now?
Well, I'd wanted to bring you here for quite a while. And what happened is we were having really bad luck with our APs in the school. And I came back one day and I was in a really bad mood because we'd had a really bad experience with the school. And I probably shouldn't have gone in the office in the mood I was at. But I walked in and we had two parents sitting in the lobby that were talking about how terrible their IEPs were going and how much flack they were getting from the schools. And I just turned to Stacy. I said, I've literally had enough. We're bringing Pete to Michigan. And she said, okay. She said, you know, we can schedule something.
Yeah, you'd been to...
I've been to two of your seminars.
Two prior programs. Absolutely. And Stacy, you'd been to...
To one
prior one. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, you know, we can set something up for the fall. And I said, no, we're doing it in April. And she's kind of similar to you. She said, that's like two and a half, three months from now.
She was the voice of reason. Yeah. Let's look to the fall.
I'm always the voice of reason, Pete.
So now you guys can say, all right, you guys can say you're the voice of reason, but we just walked out of a hall of 500 parents.
I know.
You tell me who's got reason on this.
I tell you, love is blind sometimes, Pete.
I said, I've had it. I've had enough of dealing with parents in this state that are just getting kicked in the teeth by the schools. We're bringing Pete here. We're doing it now because I want this to be the most interesting IEP season for the schools in this area that are doing these kind of things with the kids. So she said, well, I don't know if we'll be able to get them, so we contacted you. You gave the story from there. And then we essentially said, okay, well, you know, how many people do we really think we can do? And we talked to you, and you tried to discourage us, which was a very reasonable thing to do. And she said, okay, well, you know, we've got to look at space. What do you want? 100, 200? And my long-term goal is to get up. We had talked about this before. You know, someday I want to put on an event with about 1,000 people. And she said, well, that's not even close to realistic for this one. I said, you're right. That wouldn't be realistic. I said, 500. And there's very few.
So you targeted 500 as
absolutely.
Your goal.
In
right
Steve's
the
mind,
beginning.
It was
absolutely.
500.
Absolutely.
In his mind, it was 500.
And you can talk to people that knew us from the very beginning. I was saying 500 from the very beginning. And there were very few venues in this area that could hold 500 people. And we came here and said, this particular place is one.
Had you signed the contract at that point or not?
Yeah, with you.
With
yeah.
you, yes.
Oh, you
oh,
had
yes.
Okay. So you were locked in. Well, that's
we
you just had to
we
get
were
the
in. We were in at this point.
Yeah, I didn't tell Stacy about the 500 until after we signed the contract with you. And there were very few places that could hold more than 500 or more.
Classroom style,
mm-hmm. right? And one of the advantages of this place is not only could they do 500, but they said, you know, if you need more than that, we can go up well above that. And I said, okay, well, then this is where we go. And they said the same thing. They said 500. They said, is this a dinner? I said, no, it's an educational seminar. And they said, okay. They said, well, why don't we do this? When we write the contract, instead of writing it for 500, let's write it 350 to 500. I said, okay, as long as I can get the 500, that's fine. So that's what we did. And not realizing at the time, I thought the 10 weeks kind of sounded like plenty of time. And I remember saying to people at the time, because there was a therapist that we have worked with for a while, that said, you're nuts. You can't do it. I said, I've got 10 weeks. But 10 weeks is a lot of time. I said, you know what, here's the thing. The parents that need to come to this conference aren't going to care if they've had 6 months advertising. They're going to come. So I'm not worried about them. We're going to get the parents. Sponsors, that might be a little trickier. And it did prove to be a little tricky, not so much because of the short time span, but because April is Autism Awareness Month, so a lot of the events around here had already been scheduled and booked. We've got Jenny McCarthy, who was coming to the state, and she's obviously doing her big nationwide tour and that kind of thing. And, you know, she's very educated. She's very pretty. That pulled in a big crowd for them, too. So it was tough trying to get some sponsors from that standpoint. So
you were competing against another conference a week earlier.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, actually, in this time span, there was the Jenny McCarthy conference, and then the big Autism Society of Michigan had their big annual conference.
2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. So we were up against that for parents trying to buy tickets and for sponsors. When we first opened the center, there was an event that was going on, and we said, you know, we've got to figure out a way to drive people to our center to get people to know we're here. So we had purchased a block of 100 tickets to a speaker was coming and talking about autism and vaccines. And we purchased the tickets, and we gave them away for free. And we kind of had people coming through the center.
So for another event previously, you purchased tickets and gave them away.
Yep. That was his marketing idea. Absolutely.
And you know what? It kind of got us on the map. It got people talking about where we were. So we were approaching some of these sponsors, and we said, you know what? What if we pull this idea out again and pitch it to a sponsor? Because the sponsors, you know, they're saying, you know, to dedicate a sizable amount of money on this short a time period, we need a real return. And we said, you know, we had done this a couple of years ago. It might be something you guys might want to consider as part of your sponsorship, purchase a block of tickets. You can either sell the tickets at cost, or you can sell them at a discount. You can give them away for free. And we were talking to 4 different businesses, two grocery stores, a chiropractic office, and then at the last minute, an auto dealership came into the picture. And we pitched the idea to all of them. We said, you know, if you do this, you're going to get the people coming through. They have to come to your location to pick up the tickets. And fortunately, and I guess that part of the story is really Stacy's, but yeah, we got them to sign on. They were hoping, they initially purchased 150 tickets. They figured best case scenario, they'd be really happy if they sold 75. They sold all 150 within the first week, which they signed on as a sponsor 2 weeks before yesterday, I guess. Mm-hmm. In the first week, they sold out the 150 tickets. They purchased another block of 30, and then within a couple days, those were gone, so they bought another 30. So they sold essentially 210 tickets for this event at a $25 price. They took a loss on their initial investment, but by the time the sponsorship was done, I mean, it turned out to be a pretty good deal for them. And they said they were absolutely just shocked. They were inundated with phone calls.
210 tickets in less than 13 days.
Wow. Now, before you created this concept of the sponsorships and tickets, people could go to the website and sign up online and register for the conference.
Correct.
So you had traditional registration online with PayPal or a bank card or some sort or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you evolved into a concept of having tickets available, and you sold tickets then in bulk to your sponsors, who then made them available to parents.
Correct, and they could no longer purchase them on our website. They all had to go to the LaFontaine dealership.
So the online was then closed down, and they had to go to LaFontaine dealership.
Correct.
And prior to LaFontaine coming in, we had sold on our own. We had sold about at the triple check, but it was about 213 tickets. Mm-hmm. So LaFontaine.
213.
Yeah, before LaFontaine.
Wow, that was probably how long before today was that when you you closed down the online registration?
Well, that would have been about 2 weeks ago, so we sold
213
tickets in about, what would it be, about seven weeks,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I was kind of frustrated because I wasn't close enough to my 500 yet, and that's when we talked to LaFontaine, and we kind of added up. We said, you know, look, part of this, you know, because obviously you're going to be laying out a lot of money for this, you know, if you purchase this block of tickets, I'd done an add-on, created a store so people could go on and purchase their tickets online. They could purchase the single tickets. They could purchase the couples tickets. We'd approached a couple of other charities in the area that had worked with autism, a couple of school PTAs, and we'd offered them the option of, if they had their membership, if they helped us advertise, get it out to their membership, that when they put in the code for whatever the nonprofit would have been, that the person automatically would get a $1 discount. And then we would donate $5 from the price of that. I don't know if we talked about this.
No.
They would donate $5 from the price of the ticket to the nonprofit. And so I think that was part of what helped us get to the 213. But we told LaFontaine, look, if you guys come in and buy this block of tickets, we'll stop selling tickets. We'll put sold out on the website. if anybody comes or contacts us, we'll tell them they have to come to you. And
that Now, Stacy, I understand that you attended a conference a few weeks ago, and they had an auction or of sorts where you could auction time to go and eyeball a radio station in process.
Correct.
And you did, over your husband's objections, you kept on raising the bid amount, and eventually, what was it, $200?
In fairness to Steve, he wasn't at the auction, so there wasn't a whole lot he could do about it.
But he had given you, he told you ahead of time, be careful.
Though, it was specifically, Stace, don't bid on anything. You know, you can bid on something, but don't do the live auction portion, because you're going to get wrapped up in what's going on.
And so you won the bid, though.
I did.
And how much did you pay for that?
$175.
$175, and so
yes,
you
sir.
Ended up going to the radio station.
I did.
To eyeball and see, and then you started talking with the people, and what happened?
Well, one of the things that we keep finding over and over, and I know you do too, is somebody knows somebody on the autism spectrum. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Yes.
Everybody does.
Everybody knows somebody or somehow, some way. So as we started talking initially during the interview, at that point I was just visiting, and they just said, where did you go? And I had explained that we were at a special needs auction for a local special needs school. And my son happens to be on the autism spectrum. And in between segments, they started talking with me and saying, well, I know somebody. And then and these four people in the studio radio station on Magic 105 here in Detroit, they all knew somebody as well. And as we kept talking, Jim Harper was kind enough to say, well, hey, I'd love to have you guys get this little segment on today just to let people know who you are. And sure enough, as that happened, I was over the moon at that point, because I was able to now tell Steve, guess what I did? It's okay. And sure enough, he was kind enough then to also invite me to the mic for a minute on the air. And I told him about who we were, about Great Expectations. I told him about MyGreatKid.com and also our nonprofit, The Liberty Kids, which is scholarships for children with special needs. And he was kind enough, after we were done in the radio station, they were leaving their segment for the day, he invited us back for a one-on-one interview, and he wanted a dad's perspective too, so he invited both Steve and I back. And then I was really over the moon, because now I called Steve and said, hey, guess what, we're going on the radio.
You get your own radio spot.
That's it. We're going, and that was just a phenomenal experience.
And so the two of you were on the radio, and then did you get calls after that? What happened after that?
We did. We had a lot of recognition with calls after that, saying, it sounded like you were talking to me. We had one lady that drove in about 45 minutes away. As soon as she heard us on the radio, she got her little girl dressed, drove down to our center, and said, I have no idea if you were going to be there or not, but you were talking to me that morning, and I needed to come see you guys. So that's how it worked. And we still have people coming up to us that have said, we heard you on the radio, and thank you very much for letting people know that we're out here.
And then you showed me a newspaper article about Jenny McCarthy, where on the column on the side, it had a whole thing about this conference today.
It did, and we weren't aware of that, mind you. Each one of us said, did you talk to the Detroit Free Press? And I said no, and Steve said no, and we ended up getting calls from that as well. So somehow, somewhere, somebody found out about the conference, and they wanted to make sure that it was recognized that it was happening. So it was quite exciting that part was also in. Those things just kind of rolled as we were starting to get recognition and people heard things on the radio or started getting that word of mouth happening. It really took off.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in fairness, we didn't know that was coming at all.
No.
But obviously, once we had found out, I mean, we had contacted, all the media, different groups, the newspapers and that kind of stuff, to say, hey, we'd love to do interviews. We'd love, Pete's coming into town. He'll talk with you. So we had sent stuff out there and just didn't get a really great response. And it was funny because it was actually the day of the radio station, the second radio station spot, interview kind of thing, that we gotten a call from someone from the newspaper just saying, hey, I just need to confirm a couple details with you. And said, okay, great. And then they hung up, and we thought that was the end of it. And then, it turned out with the Jenny McCarthy story, and that her big thing, I mean, obviously she had the big blown-up picture and all that kind of stuff. And then on the sidebar, they had the information about her appearance, and then above the fold, right underneath that, actually even more prominent than what they had done for her event, they talked about Wright's Law, what it was, where it was going to be, ticket prices and everything. So yeah, that was a tremendous additional extra bonus for us, just in terms of getting a little bit more publicity for it.
Well, I heard one parent today was telling me how they had simply seen a notice posted in their pediatrician's office on the wall. That was how they learned about the conference.
Yeah.
Amazing distribution of information, and it was pretty strange. It was unusual yesterday when the two of us came over here to the center to just to test all of the equipment, to eyeball everything. And there, walking up to the door, was a parent from. She was from some long distance, I think, wasn't she?
She did. I believe. I can't remember.
Was she the Indiana?
About 45. She was out of state. I believe it was Toledo that she drove in from.
And came here yesterday just to see where it was. She didn't have a ticket yet. She couldn't get any. Knew it was sold out, but came anyway just to figure out how, and bumped into
we
us.
We happened to be here.
We were coming in.
We happened to be here. And, she did get in this morning.
I know. I saw her this afternoon.
She was here at 25 after 7 this morning, and registration started at 7:30, and she patiently waited until after quarter after 8 until I knew what was going to happen.
I think when I came in this morning, on all the entrance doors, you had big signs that had sold out, because you were expecting just a lot of people to come in, and it was so nice to be here today where your parents were here. Both of your parents were here helping out. You pulled so many people in to help. What an operation.
And that's the thing that was really great, and probably the most rewarding. This conference was phenomenal, and I had tons of people coming up talking about how great it was, but one of the most rewarding parts of this was the fact that our center is a small center. We have some contract employees and that kind of thing, but we don't have a huge staff. So a lot of this stuff, we kind of drive it on our own. And we obviously knew for the number of people, especially as the numbers kept on climbing, that we were going to need a lot of help. And the vast majority of the people that were here today helping were parents that had come to our center for therapy for their kids, that found out about it and said, can we come and help you guys? They said, what you've done with our kids is just so great. We love the fact that you guys are bringing this here. And there were a number of parents that we said, yeah, you know what, I tell you what, if you can come and help us out that morning, we'll buy your ticket for you. And it was frustrating because the vast majority of them, despite the fact we kept on saying don't buy tickets, they ended up buying tickets anyway and saying, we don't want you to buy it. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it because we really want to help you guys out. And then we also had the local university send a couple of kids over, and our parents definitely stepped in and said, but the thing that was really nice, and the part that was rewarding, is to know that for all the time we put in on this stuff and the hard work, and as dedicated as we are to it, that we had touched enough lives of families out there that they were willing to step up and work. And there were some that busted their butts for us all day long, got babysitters for their kids. I mean, they wanted to come to the conference, but honestly, we had a couple of parents that pretty much worked through the entire thing, or worked and then left and said, I knew I couldn't be here all day long. To have that kind of loyalty and to know that you're making enough of a difference that the parents stepped up, that was absolutely tremendous.
Well, also, if I remember, there was, a medical department that sent all their staff? What was that about?
They did. It was funny. It's Beaumont has a place called Hope Center that is available for children, and they do a lot of ABA therapy and different things that are available out there. And they sent their entire management staff to the conference today. And when I ran into them to a previous conference at the Autism Society of Michigan a couple days ago, they said, "Is there anything we can do for you?" And I said, "Can you be here at 7 o'clock in the morning?"
Wow.
And they were. They were here at 7 o'clock, and they helped out as well. So, it was amazing.
And it was enough that we said, if you guys would like a booth at the event, we'd be more than happy to have you guys. And they said, we'd really like to do that. The problem is that the department manager has already purchased tickets for all of us to come. So we wouldn't have anybody work the booth. And we said, we can set it up and you can bounce back and forth. And they said, we don't want to miss any of the seminar. So what we ended up doing is giving them a table and they laid their information out. But they had their entire department, for the behavioral department for children, was there.
And you had, 18 booths of sorts?
There were 18 exhibitor sponsors.
Did they pay a fee for that?
They did. And that was how we were able, and that's what Steve's marketing campaign was initially when we were putting this together, was we can have the initial cost originally that we had of $63 initially was, I gotta admit, I was really nervous because I said, Steve, I see other conferences that are more than this. How are we gonna do
this? In terms of the cost for someone to attend.
Absolutely. And he said, Stace, we just have to get those sponsors and it will help offset this. And I said, Steve, we have 9 weeks now to do this. And he said, we can do it. I
so
know
what,
we can.
What was the charge for a sponsor then? Or did it vary depending upon the space
it,
and the size?
It depended on the space. It depended on the size of, yeah. of where we were at.
Yeah, the minimum for a booth was 500.
Correct.
With the exception of La Fontaine. The vast majority of the sponsors were five. There were a couple that had done a $2,500 sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Because of the cause. They right. just said, yeah, we'd like yeah, to donate right. this these initial dollars because mm-hmm. we just believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. And part of what we did, too, is we went to businesses that we knew had worked well for our son. Our son's dentist, a pediatric dentist, and he had a lot of work done early, which we didn't realize at the time, but because of some of his fine motor and motor coordination issues, he had some pretty extensive dental work done, and we went to them and said, look, you guys did a great job with him. This is the market to be great. The barbershop my son goes to, and they didn't even end up with the booth, but they said, yeah, I tell you what, we'll give you guys 200. We think what you guys are doing is great. So we went and sought out businesses, specifically a lot of them that we'd had experience with, and just said, we had, an insurance company here. We had a dental office. We had a chiropractor. We had
a neuropsychologist
that we had worked with our son. We had the La Fontaine dealership. We also had two other dealerships. And part of the great thing with the La Fontaine dealership is part of the program we've got with them. Because when we set up these sponsorships, we wanted to have longer-term relationships. And what we had worked out with them was to do some autism-oriented training in their dealerships. And part of how they reciprocated with that is they're going to donate $100 from every car that they sell or lease for the next calendar year to the nonprofit. And then the Ford dealership, and the La Fontaine has pretty much every brand except Ford. So then the Ford dealership caught wind of that, so they came forward and said, we'll donate $200 for every car that we sell or lease over the year. So, and it was great because it was a lot of businesses that the parents are looking for, but it's really creating awareness in those businesses. And I was talking to them the day before I left, and as I was going around the vending area, I just said, do you guys have a lot of people coming out to your booth? Are people interested? And to a booth, everyone said, yeah, the insurance agent, he was an Allstate insurance agent, said, yeah, he said, I'd never even thought of this as a market. He said, I couldn't believe how many people were coming up and saying, with my child's needs and this kind of thing, how can I afford the insurance I need? But we have to make it as cost effective as possible. The dental office said the same thing. They said, we had people coming up saying, gosh, we're always having to do work with my child's teeth. And they hate going to the dentist. They hate the drills. They hate all these things. That was when we went out looking for sponsors, we wanted to have businesses that were going to have real value to the parents. And that's how we did it. And we sold it from the awareness standpoint and really kind of more, sell with the heart kind of approach. And they did. And that's how we got the ones we got.
Thank you. I'm going to wrap this up sure. in a minute. So I guess your final advice, Steve, I'm going to ask, Stacey, ask you the same question. Steve, final advice to a parent or to an organization or to someone who has been told, okay, you've got to put a Rights Law Conference together. You are the chairperson of conference planning, and they are scared to death of going into the hole financially because of the speaker fee, the books, the cost of the location where it's being held, the projector, all the assorted things that go with it. What would you suggest? What kind of advice do you have for that person that's really scared and nervous?
Essentially, it comes down. Yeah, it is. It's definitely scary. But essentially, you have to decide from the very beginning. Can you make the commitment to do it? And once you make the commitment, not because you got money in the bank, but can you make that commitment? Once you make that commitment, you have to be all in. And for us, and we were talking about this the other night, I think the strategy that worked really well for us is we put the tools out there, especially with the internet, so that we could sell the tickets and so we could create that. But then we also really focus on the sponsorships from the standpoint of the more sponsors we could get, whether it was a dental office or those kind of places, they could then spread the word to their customers. And one of the very first things we did before I even had the website store with the tickets up is just went to all the parent groups online in this area. The autism groups, support groups, not with schools, but support groups online, parents asking questions, and just threw it out there. And it kind of goes back to the approach we've had. We've got a very parent, because we are parents, a very parent-centric approach. And we said, look, if this is a good event, and if we can put this together the right way where there's the value there, the parents will help get the word out. And it's funny, kind of like you were saying, with it turns up in doctor's offices. And we didn't approach a lot of doctors because of other focuses with our center. But we had parents that were taking the flyers and putting them up. We had a massage therapist that that got the flyer, printed it up, stuck it up on the bulletin board. You know, if you put your trust with the parents, by and large, and maybe this area is even more committed, but I really don't think so. I mean, because the parents are looking for answers. So you team up with the parents. They'll get the word out there. They want the tickets. Like I mean, we said, if you come to Michigan, we'll sell out the room. Now, we didn't think we were going to sell quite that big a room, but you know, if the parents want it, the parents can do this stuff. And then the other thing, too, is because of the fact that there is that passion and that level of interest of the parent base, it's a lot easier than when you go into looking for a dealership sponsor, or I'm sorry, not a dealership necessarily, but you're looking for a sponsor and saying, look, these parents are very passionate. What we specifically told the businesses is, you've got to realize that this base of parents, they're young. They've got young children. A lot of times they have numerous children. They're extremely loyal because, by and large, it's very difficult to find businesses that are going to work with a child that has special needs. It doesn't matter if it's a restaurant or if it's an auto dealership or it's a barber shop or it's a dentist. They're very loyal. And when they find someone that really cares and is willing to work with them, you're going to have an extremely loyal client base. And the other thing that you have to keep in mind is probably the most crucial part is these parents talk. They talk and they tell everyone. When they find a great place, they tell everyone. And we used an example of when my son was on early on, trying to find a barbershop where we could get his hair cut. Because, you know, you got a little child that has autism and has sensory issues. They don't like the buzzing. They don't like being touched. They don't like the hair falling down their back. And you've got scissors very close to their head. There was one parent in the early on group that found a barbershop about 25, 30 minutes from here that did a great job. And within a month, 2 months maybe, they had 17 families of children that had special needs that were going out to this barbershop.
Gee whiz.
So, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we believe very, very firmly, and it's what our center is based on, we very strongly believe in the power of the parents to really do that. And that's what we capitalize on. And then as we had the reaction from the parents, it was easier to go on to the sponsors because even if the sponsors wanted to pay the money, there's obviously a bottom line. And that's what La Fontaine said. They said, we have been absolutely blown away. We had no idea not only how many of our customers had children that had special needs that were really going to respect that, but we were blown away at how many employees we had that not necessarily had autism but had children that had special needs that were calling us. They have four dealerships that were calling into the president or the general manager of the dealership saying, I think it's so great you're doing this to support families like ours. And they said, it's one of those things where it's almost kind of embarrassing to realize we had this market that we were completely ignoring. But even more than that, we had employees. And it's a very family-centered dealership. I mean, they really do care about their employees. They said that we had this many employees that had special needs that we were just completely ignorant of. So, I mean, for us, that's what it is. I mean, drive it with the parents. If the parents are on your side, they'll help you do the marketing. They'll help drive it.
That sounds like that's a great key. Stacey, what do you,
you know,
what did it say?
One of the things that I made sure when I was going out and talking with other people is asking them, do you know someone? Referring it back to them. Just out of curiosity, do you know someone either on the autism spectrum or with special needs? And they all said at least a yes. And I said, well, imagine if that was your family, or every night before you go to bed, you're wondering, is someone going to talk to your child that next day? Or are you going to be able to go out to eat? Or are you going to be able to go to a birthday party? Or all those questions that we have, that's an everyday occurrence for all of us. And if you're able to convey that story to someone sitting across from you, it's hard for them to say no to you. It's very difficult, and it's not, I don't want, and I never wanted anyone to feel guilty. I wanted them to understand from our point of view how important this really is. And it went on the magnitude of, now imagine you have to try to educate them, and with all the other challenges that they have. And if we don't educate them, we're going to be paying for them one way or the other later in life. And if we don't do it now, we're going to do it one way or the other. So if you would help us to help them, you're contributing more to your community than you have any idea. And the other thing that we really made sure is we broke things down so they could see that this may be the cost of the sponsorship, but this is what you're getting because of the sponsorship. You're able to get in front of, I said 500 people because that was the goal, and that's what we sold, that you will be in front of this many people. This is our goal that we have. Parents do the talking. Parents let others know who you are. They are very loyal. And once that went, it caught on. And I got to tell you, the folks that were here today saw how powerful that really was. And it really meant a lot to them to say, I had many vendors come up to me saying, I ran out of materials. I don't have any more information to give. I was just shocked. I haven't been somewhere where I've ran out of materials. So I meant it when I said it, that you're not going to be disappointed with the number of people that you're going to see. And we did that consistently. And I got to tell you, there were places that said no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. They did.
There were a lot of places.
There were a lot of, and it's hard to hear no. And I even said to Steve a couple of times, I'm getting a little bit bummed out here every now and then. And he said, but you know what, Stace? All you got to do is hit a few that are going to say yes. And we only need a few. And as he kept saying that, I said, you know what, I guess you're right. You know, not everyone is going to say yes to everything.
Well, the two of you are a powerful, impressive couple. You have really hit a home run with this program.
Thank you.
Today, and it's been very impressive. And I will let you both off the hook now. It's been a long day for the three of us, and I thank you for your willingness to tell the story and allow me to be able to share it with other parents and other individuals.
Thank you for
coming,
because it was really something to have you here, and we appreciated all you've done over the years, whether you realized it or not, for our family.
Well, as I said during the conference, remember, it's not me. anyone that knows me knows there's no way I could put a book together, two books together, a website, a newsletter. That's Pam's doing. I'm just the person out there on the road show, but Pam is the person that's the workhorse behind all of it. Well, I thank you, and now I will see if I can turn this off and save it without erasing it. Let's see. Let me give it a try.